Once again, it is great to see you today. So glad you're here. I said I'd say a little more about this. I want to thank everybody who was a part of yesterday's event. It was such a blessed event in so many ways. Had so many folks that we made better relationships with, and they left with a better impression of the Lord and of the church and of His family here. In 2019, we had a little over 1,000 that were here. Last year was a little different. We had a little over 355 that were here. I did not know what that number was. Had to go back and look it up. And yesterday we had about 1,075, a little more than that. We ended up somewhere around 11 to 17, if my number's right. But, you know, it could be wrong, so I'm going to put that number and say undercount instead of overcount. How about that? Is that good? I know you find that hard to believe and shocking and everything. All right, I need to ask you to do something this morning. I want to take a few minutes with you this morning. I want to first ask all of our elders to stand. They don't know I'm going to do this, and one of the number one rules of preaching is you never surprise your elders. But hey, what are they going to do, fire me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Garth is not here today. He's standing at home, maybe. Garth, if you're watching at home, stand. All right, now if y'all remain standing, it's going to be a while, okay? First of all, I want to ask you to raise your hand. If you have ever been a part of a church where there was a bad elder, a bad shepherd, I have. How many of you ever raised them good and high? What you thought was a bad shepherd. Look around. See what you see. That's neat. None of our young people, I raise their hands. That's kind of cool, isn't it? I'm serious. That's kind of cool, right? All right, now let's do this. Raise your hand if you've ever been a part of a church that had what you thought was a really good elder, one really good shepherd. I hope everybody raised their hand right now. If you're not, elder's writing your name down to come see you this week. All right, so that's pretty neat, isn't it? Now I want to do a little more with this. I want to ask any of our former shepherds, our former elders here that are still here to stand. If you have served here before, stand. There are 15 men in this congregation through the years who have served as shepherds. 16 men. A couple of them have moved off. Ed, of course, is not able to be with us right now. None of them have died yet. We've not had, have we, Steve? We haven't had a shepherd that's died here yet. All right. I want to ask you to stand if you have been married to an elder, to a shepherd in a congregation. If you have been married to an elder in a congregation, if you'll stand. No, Will, you can't stand twice, okay? You are, but people are very confused now. All right. Okay. All right. Now, we're going to go this a step further. If your dad at some point, or granddad served as an elder in a congregation, stand up. Your dad or granddad served as an elder in a congregation, stand up. All right. Look around. Now, I want to ask you to sit down for a minute. Well, ask you to sit down, not for a minute. It'll be longer than a minute you get to sit down, trust me. Are you aware that those men that stood, the first group of men, those currently serving as elders, are currently affecting the mentality and mindset of all of our folks that are about 30 or under toward the church. To a large degree, how they feel about the church will be determined by really two major things. One, your, as a parent, attitude toward the church, and two, the way that our current elders lead. Some of you here who have served under bad elders, I did not think to look at the list. I believe it's right around 36 men that I've served under as elders in my life. To a large degree, the mentality of your own mentality toward the local church has been determined by those men that you served under. This morning I want to talk to you about why my attitude toward elders or shepherds is important, and what to do about it when my attitude has slipped, when it's not what it should be. Because that happens in life sometimes. And yeah, I know the arguments. I know what people are going to think, some of you are going to think. And the fact is, for all of us, there will be times, if you're a faithful Christian, there will be times, there will be moments, there will be instances, there will be situations where it is challenging to be positive toward elders. Accept that reality. For everybody here, sometimes it is because a general lack of respect for authority that was modeled in front of you as a young person. Parents, it is extremely important that you teach your children to respect authority. It's not extremely important that you agree with the authority, and it's okay to teach them that authority can be wrong, but how you as a parent treat authority is going to shape your children. I have seen it over and over and over again. And that's not just true in society. That's not just true in how they behave toward their teachers at school. It's not just true of how they behave toward their bosses. It's not just true of how they behave before civil authority. It is also true about how they deal with the church. Sometimes that attitude that's challenging is because an elder in some way or another, maybe some place other than here, or maybe here, hurt you in some way in the past. You were hurt. Something was said or done directly toward you. And you carry that with you. And you find it difficult to build trust. And for some of you, you've had moments in your life, times in your life, where you have stepped into trust, and then something happened and you don't like it, or you feel you wince a little bit and you step back out because you've been hurt in the past. It's hard for you to trust those in authority because you've seen authority at times when it's either been abused or misunderstood. Sometimes it's because of a personality that wants to push back against authority. I mean, you have a hard time being under the authority of another. That is especially true of people who are natural leaders. It's a challenge for you to be under someone else's leadership. But as Ed Young says, who you are under says a lot about you. We are all under authority. And how we handle being under the authority that we are under says a lot about us and determines a lot about how we react to life. Another possibility is sometimes it's because of ego. That's just the truth. You think you could do better than they could do. I remember one time going to a man who was not selected to be a leader and telling him that, and he got extremely angry, almost violently angry, and he said, "I'm better than any of those elders that are serving now." Really? That's mighty bold of you. And he may have been. I don't think he was. But the fact is, ego can get in the way. And it's second cousin. Sometimes it's because of jealousy. I mean, we wanted to be an elder. We thought we would have been selected. But for some reason, and we're not sure why, we weren't selected. And it hurts. And I will not minimize that hurt at all. I can't tell you the number of men I've thought should be shepherds in congregations that I've worked with through the years that were not selected, and it hurt me when they weren't selected. I know of good men who have been overlooked over and over again, and it's painful sometimes to them. And they want to do well. They want to have a right attitude, but every time a new man's appointed and they aren't appointed, they wince a little bit. They feel a sting a little bit, a stab a little bit. Why wasn't I given that opportunity? And so it makes it hard to have the right attitude toward others. Sometimes it's because the elders make a decision that different than a decision you would have made of a matter that that you refuse to make smaller than that relationship. I have preached here, if my calculation is right, well over 1,000 times from this stage. Today, something is different. How many of you have noticed anything different? Most of our young folks have. I have this nephew. He's skinny and handsome and young and cool and articulate and loves the Lord and loves the church. He's great with the text. He's fabulous at communicating the Word of God. He is an awesome, awesome guy. He's my nephew. And he preaches every Sunday in blue jeans. Blue jeans. Can you believe he preaches in blue jeans? Did I mention he's skinny? His mom, my sister, grew up in a preaching family. My dad was a preacher. Dad would never preach in jeans. Dad would never preach without a towel. I've seen him in a 100-plus degree temperature in Central America in a building without heat or without any heat, any air conditioning in it. They don't need heat there. Any air conditioning in it, with his towel, sweating profusely, but refusing to take his tired jacket off because he thought when you preach, you should preach in a jacket and tie. So when my nephew started preaching, he started wearing jeans, it really upset my sister. And I remember talking to my nephew about it, and I said to my nephew, listen, your mom's opinion is never going to change because the man who she built her opinion on is dead and his opinion is never going to change. Right? He's never going to preach in jeans because he's dead. And so she's kind of stuck there. Now, I've seen that fight go on through the years in churches. You have to wear a tie when you preach. There was a question in a forum I was in not long ago, Bill, where that question was asked. And it was asked, and I was on that panel with three other guys that had ties on, and I didn't have a tie on. It was a little awkward, you know. Is it a sin to preach without a tie on? It's like, well. Listen, if you, young people, hear this. If you listen to a guy or don't listen to him based upon whether he's got jeans on or a tie on or whether his hair's cool or whether he's cool or whether he's not, you are ungodly. Okay? You just are. It's not what that guy's wearing. It's what he's saying. Is he preaching the Word of God? Now, you can like a guy more if he wears jeans, but if you like his message more because he wears jeans, get over yourself. And excuse me, old people. I are one of you. But the same is true for you. I won't listen to a guy who gets up there and he doesn't have a tone. Really? I baptized a lady. Her name was Joanne. Beautiful, wonderful, elderly lady. And I've told you this story years ago, but it's been a long time. And she said to me, she called me one day, she said, can you come see me? So I went to see her and she said, you're a really good preacher. I said, thank you. She said, but I just can't listen to you. I said, why? She said, because you don't wear a long sleeve white shirt every time you preach. So that's the standard, huh? Okay, now that I've got it. You see, it may be that there's somebody that taught you something that wasn't Word of God. It was within the realm of a matter of opinion, and that person taught it, and you believed it, and that person's gone. They're no longer here, and the elders make a decision that butts up against that opinion that that person taught, and you now can't move on beyond that. So I know, and I please know, I am not minimizing any of these. If you've been hurt, if you've been overlooked, if you've been mistreated, if you have that personality where it's hard for you to be under someone, none of that is minimized. I know every one of those. Yet, the The attitude you have toward elders is extremely important. I want to give you this morning six reasons why. You ready? Number one. Well, first, you need to know that in this sermon, nothing happened that prompted it. I didn't have a fight with elders last week and it prompted me to preach this sermon. They didn't come to me and say, Dale, we need you to preach this sermon. Nothing happened and nothing is coming up that's going to change this. As you know, and excuse me because some of you don't like me mentioning it, but as you know, I'm not going to be here a lot longer and there's some things that need to be said. And I wanted to say some of those things these last few weeks. And one of them, I wanted to talk to you about elders. And part of the reason I want to do that is I don't have a dog in this fight any longer, okay? What I say is not going to affect my future. It's not going to affect my pay. It's not going to affect if I stay here or leave from here. They could fire me today, and at this point, you know, there's a good chance of it. They could fire me today, and we'd be all right. Don't fire me. Nothing prompted this other than there's some things that you need to hear from a standpoint of someone that, excuse me, an outsider but still an insider. Someone who I hope you trust that loves the Lord and loves His church and loves the Word, but someone who also no longer has a reason to say our elders are great men. My attitude as a Christian about anything is always, number one, important. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The CSV translates it, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. So my attitude is important because the Bible says I'm to have the right attitude. But number two, my attitude as a Christian is always in danger. It may be more in danger for faithful Christians than people who do not even know the Lord. Because Satan is always going to attack you where he can. And if he can't get you on a moral sin, if he can't get you on some false teaching, get you to follow that, you know what he'll do often to faithful Christians? I've seen it through the years. He will attack our attitudes. Our attitudes will start slipping. And we'll get pulled down because we have the wrong attitudes. Well, six reasons why my attitude toward elders is important. Number one, because elders are God's idea. They're God's idea. There are numerous passages we could look at. Not numerous, there's probably about 20, but that's enough. But I want to look at one in Acts chapter 14. Paul is kind of in the middle of his first missionary journey, as we call it. Paul's been a Christian now for, people say, somewhere between 12 and 20 years. And now he's out preaching the gospel on a trip where he's going and doing what Jesus said he had been chosen to do. He's preaching the gospel among Gentiles, among foreigners, among people that never heard it before. It's his first missionary journey. Now watch it. After they had preached the gospel to that city, they made many disciples. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Watch what happened. They go to these cities, all in kind of a smaller regional area. It'd be like here in Columbia and Franklin and Santa Fe. And they go to all these areas, they start establishing churches. Now, they don't drive in a car, so it takes them longer to travel than it takes us to travel. But then they go back around, and they want to make sure that those people who have accepted the Lord and who have obeyed the gospel, that they are still in love with the Lord. They want to strengthen their faith. But watch what happens. When they had appointed elders for them in every church. Now, those who study history, who do timelines on history, and I don't do timelines on biblical history because it's really difficult, say that every bit of this happened around 48 AD. So in 1 year, they took people who were not Christians, baptized them into Christ, and within a year, they appointed those men elders. Now, this is not a study of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 that I think tells you why some of these men became elders quicker than people become elders today. But here's the reason that is said. Here's the reason I say that. It was so vital that the one specific mission that Paul had, and Timothy and Silas had, when they went back to these churches, the one specific mission was, we're going to appoint elders in every one of those churches. Paul sent Titus to a place called Crete, and the text will tell us that Paul said to him, I left you in Crete to set in order what remains. There's something that's not in order in God's plan, and to appoint elders in every city. Part of the plan of God is that churches, congregations of his people have elders. I want to go back a slide because I ran across something going over this. It's not here, it's later. Okay. It's a buzzword today. Organic. Since style. I would note that there's no real organic out there. Okay. Maybe I should say it differently. Everything is organic. Everybody's all excited about organic. I mean, I want organically grown eggs from organically grown chickens, from organically grown farm, from organically grown grass. I want organically grown business and organically grown church. I think for some, the word organic has simply become a way to be lazy. I don't want to work hard, so my stuff grows organically. My chickens are free range because I don't want to have to build a chicken coop. That's not true of everybody that does that. Some of you probably are growing things in your mind organically. My church is organic. And the idea is we just kind of let stuff happen. You know, what happens, happens. And we're fine with that. Let this happen, let that happen. What happens, happens. The problem with that is that God is not a God of confusion. A couple of verses later, he'll say that he's a God that wants things done in order. Our God is a God of organization. And like it or not, someone is going to be in charge. Right? Somebody's going to be in charge. He said, oh, no, no, we vote on everything. All right, who counts the vote? All right, we're going to get together, we're going to go eat lunch. We're going to go to Grecian, or we're going to go to Tito's, or we're going to go to McDonald's. Okay? Well, now, who decided on the three places? Person in charge. Who said we're going to go to one of these three places? The person, somebody in anything that you do in life is always going to be in charge. How much authority and how they deal with that authority is another matter, but someone is always in charge. Somebody said, Dale, you're very pro elders. You're right, because God is pro elders. It's his plan, it's not mine. Number two, why is my attitude toward elders important? Because elders will give an account for your soul. They'll give an account on your behalf. Now, Rob, I do not understand this verse in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, where he says, obey them that have rule over you and submit to them, because they're keeping watch over your souls as to those who will give an account. I do not have a clue how that works. And I've said that publicly a number of times. I've never had anybody after come and say, I got it figured out. I don't have a clue, Tom, how that works. I mean, will God get people up there and say, Tom, oh, you're an elder, these people are under your charge? How'd Greg do? I don't know how that's going to work. Because I don't understand everything about that. Maybe it's the count on this earth I've thought about. Maybe it's they have an account before others in the church. I don't know what it is. But you know, there's a lot going on in an elder's heart. I mean, they're held to a higher standard by God. God holds them. There are qualifications, qualities given in 1 Timothy and Titus and in 1 Peter. They are held to a higher standard. You don't have a list, per se, of a qualification to be a church goer. But there are a list if you're going to serve as a shepherd in a church. They're held to a higher standard by God, and they are held oftentimes to an even higher standard by the church. I know a lot of churches that hold their elders to a higher standard than God holds their elders to. You see, God does not expect them to be perfect, but it seems the church does. Can an elder sin and continue? God says yes, because every person here is a sinner. God says a person can sin and continue to serve. But I've seen elders sin and somebody say, oh, he can't serve as an elder anymore because he made a mistake. That's wrong, guys. That's not biblical. They are held to a higher standard, but we don't need to hold them to a higher standard than God holds them to. They are human. There's a lot on an elder's heart. Notice, this verse in Hebrews 13 is neither unclear or obscure. Obey them that have rule over you. Have rule over you, and they will give an account. My attitude is pretty important because they have some authority in my life. Number three, why is my attitude important? Because of God's command. The first part of the Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them who have rule over you. It's an interesting text. It's similar to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you, who are over you. There's that same phrase, over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of the work. Be at peace among yourselves. When we get to point number 5, I'm going to come back to that verse if I remember to, but I want you to notice a couple of things about it real quickly. First of all, that same word, over you. You're to obey those who are over you. You say, elders can't tell me what to do. If you believe what God says, they can tell you what to do. Well, I don't like their opinion on this. Well, that's fine. It's fine. But in the local church, they have that authority. Well, I'm going to go somewhere else. Okay, go somewhere else. But if you go somewhere else, you need to be under the authority of those elders there. If you cannot serve under the authority of the elders, you need to find somewhere else to be. That's harsh. That's Dale Jerkin speaking. But it is reality. The other thing I want to notice about this verse are those two words, among you. Among you. You see, our elders are selected from among us. They're not selected from, I don't believe that an eldership can be over the authority of another church. Now, there's a lot of debate and discussion about that, and some of you say, I think they can. If we planted a church up the road and our elders were over them, they could be under their authority. I just don't think that's biblical. These guys are among you. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to let them do what they want? Yes, they're their own church. They're their own congregation. They get to do what the Word of God says to them, just like we get to do what the Word of God says to us. And we get to decide how we're going to do when the Word of God hadn't said something. They get to do what they say. It's a control matter with a lot of leaders. We're not going to give them a lot of money and help them plant a church that doesn't have any authority over. That's a control matter. It's among you, though. And it's among you because we know these men. We're to know these men. I'll never forget being a part of the church one time, and we had this dear, godly lady who came to me with some issue she was upset about that I had no authority over. And I said, you ought to go to the elders about it. She said, I don't know who a single elder here is. You know whose fault that was? It was hers. Now, the elders might have borne some responsibility, but it's her fault. The elders knew who she was. She didn't know who they were. Among you. You need to know these men. You need to get to know what their heart is. You need to know where they're coming from. You need to get to know their attitudes and how they make decisions. They're among us. And the reason you need to know all those things is when they stand up and make a statement, a decision about something, and you don't like that decision, if you don't know them, it's going to be really easy for you to get all angry and say, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to leave the church. I'm going to find somewhere else to do something else. You need to know them because they have rule over you. They are over you. Number four, your attitude toward elders is important because they were selected, appointed, and ordained by the rest of the church. I don't like the elders. Guess what? You selected those men. And that's true most everywhere I've ever seen. It's especially true in this place, in this location. We select these men who serve. And every 3 years, we have the opportunity to reselect these men who serve. How vital is that in the local church that were selected by this church? So there are 400, 500 of you here. and you don't like something the elders made a decision on, you get all angry at the elders and start trying to push for something that to get them overthrown or whatever the word would be to use there, you realize they were selected by you? I have a friend. I'll call him Dallas. Dallas was a preacher and he was under distress. A few years back, Dallas called me about 3 times a week, and every time he called, we talked for over an hour. His work was imploding under his feet and he felt helpless. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to handle everything that's going on in his life. And his elders weren't giving any help at all. And every time he'd call, he'd get off on the elders and the bad decisions they were making, how horrible these guys were and how awful they were. And at one time I said to Dallas, "Dallas, every church gets the leadership it deserves." Now think about that for a minute. Every church gets the leadership they deserve. Because we select them and we allow them to continue. And that's true in every church that's out there. Number 5, it's important the attitude you have toward elders, because your disrespect of them will produce disunity in Christ's body. And trust me, you don't want that. I know I'm going backward on the slides, but I want you to go back to this and notice this last part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13. And be at peace among yourselves. You see, when you are constantly fighting the elders and fighting against the elders, you know what it does? It develops, it fosters division in the church. And I don't want to be a part of the vision of the Lord's body. And I've seen it. Folks, I've seen it here before. Where somebody or some group would not like a decision the elders made. And you know what they start doing? They start trying to line up people behind them on their position. And you know what happens every single time that happens? The Lord's kingdom is harmed. The church is hurt. It causes division. It causes mistrust. It causes disunity. Number 6, your attitude toward elders is important, because elders need encouragement too. You see, the bottom line is they are brothers. They too get discouraged. They too can lose direction. They carry a lot on their plate. They hear every complaint that happens in the local church. They hear it from strong, faithful Christians, and they hear it from weak people who have no involvement. And they can get hit by so many issues that they want to throw up their hands and give up. And I've seen it. I've seen men who were serving as faithful men, elders in a church, that got so discouraged that they left the Lord over that discouragement. Please hear this clearly. The biblical injunction in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is that we encourage each other. Encourage one another. And they are another. You have a responsibility to them. But what do I do if my attitude is wrong? You've talked about why it's important to be right. And I may not agree with everything you said, but you made some good points. But what do I do if I see it slipping? If I see it going somewhere I don't want it to go? If I'm that person that's been hurt? If I'm that person that's been overlooked? If I'm that person that didn't like a decision, what do I do when I see my attitude toward elders slipping? I wrote down a few things. I'll be quick about it. Number 1, work hard on your eldership, on your attitude, on your attitude. Your attitude is yours. I can't control it. You can control it. And if you see your attitude slipping toward elders, you need to work hard to make that attitude right for the 6 reasons I've already given you, and you might have a few of your own. The second thing you need to do is you need to stay current with any issues. Stay current with them. Tom, when we moved here, sorry to pick on you, but you were here, bud. You know. But you remember one of the first things we talked about when we talked about getting together, me working here? We said, let's stay current. If y'all get upset with me about something I've done, talk to me. Don't wait a year and then come to me. If y'all do something I don't like, I'm not going to wait a year. Let's stay current on stuff. You see, a lot of times Christians think that when we don't address issues that are going on, that we're just being good Christians. And I'm not saying you should address every single issue that happens in your life. But if you think you're being a good Christian, sometimes all you're doing is you're keeping a volcano from exploding. You're pressing down, and at some point that thing's going to blow up. And it's going to blow up over something silly, and people are going to say, why the Lord is upset about that? Why is she mad about that? Well, it wasn't that. It was 75 other things that you didn't address. So if you have an issue with an elder, go and talk to those elders. Do your best to work through those elders. You're a Christian, they're a Christian. Work together. Stay current. Third one is develop a good forgetter. Scott, you know I've not gotten everything I wanted since I've been here. You know there are times in elders' meetings when I've said, when I've pressed hard for something, I've not gotten it. I won't give you any for instances today. But if you don't have a good forgetter, over time you're going to get mad at these guys that serve. If you can't move on when you don't get your way about something or when an announcement is made that you don't like, if you can't move forward, it's going to eventually push you away from the congregation and possibly away from the Lord. It will cause bitterness to spring up in your heart toward these people, and you will end up being consumed by that bitterness. Number four, know yourself. Know yourself. Self-awareness is so, it's talked about way too little in our world. You need to know yourself. Why do I have this attitude? Is it me? It's because I have the kind of personality, it's hard for me to be under people. Is it me because I was hurt in the past and I'm not giving these guys a fair chance at leading? I was hurt by my dad, and so I hate all men, and so I'm not going to have anything to do with men who try to lead in a church, even though God ordained it and God established it. I'm going to have my way. Know yourself and examine yourself. Why do I have the attitudes I have? And the fifth one for us here is participate in the selection of those who lead. It is atrocious, the small number of people who participate in our process here. And then those very same people who don't participate in the process of selecting these individuals who serve, you know what happens? They get mad when something happens they don't like. It's like, really? You didn't put any names of anything, and you didn't affirm or deny. You were not happy with this guy already, and now you're mad about a decision, and you didn't participate in the process. What? Well, you don't have any right to say anything. You weren't a part of the process. You're not a part of having the leaders we have here. We have good men sitting in this room right now, in Dale's opinion, and this is the opinion, know that. We have good men sitting in this room right now who I think should be elders. But we have a rule here. It does not supersede the scriptures. It's to help us stay organized, that a man has to get 10 nominations to serve. There are other things involved in that, but it's one of them. You know the list of them. You go on our website and look at our bylaws. They're back on the wall. You can read them. You can understand them. But there is that. And because a small percentage to a large percentage of people participate in the process, we don't have some men who should be serving here as leaders. And every elder in this church, I believe, would tell you we need more elders. The statistical studies of the number of people who can lead a certain number of other people, we are way down in that number. Participate. And finally, get to know them better. I'm pro-elders, so I'll make that very clear. But I'm not just pro-elders, I'm pro-Spring Meadows elders. I am so thankful for these men in this church. And one of the reasons I am that way is because I know these guys. I know they're not perfect. I know they make mistakes. I know they get discouraged sometimes. I know sometimes they don't have the attitude they want to have. They're humans. Man, they love this church. And they pray for you over and over again. I think it was Larry who said the other night, it may not have been Larry, but he said, my favorite part of an elders meeting is this part right here. We just finished our time of prayer together. They pray. It's a thing of beauty. If it was you, Jerry, I apologize. Jerry and Larry sound a lot alike. Those two names sound similar. I'm so good with names. Get to know them better. And I've found a lot of times that this is not just a statement to make a statement, but I found a lot of times when I have a problem with somebody, I just don't know them well enough. I've not gotten to know them and love them and care for them. So, your attitude toward those men who serve as leaders in this church. It is as biblical as can be, is extremely important. And it will affect your spiritual life. If you're not a part of this family, of this church, if you're not a part of this congregation, if you're not a part of the Lord's body, I don't know why you would not want to be a part of the Lord's body. I don't know why you want to be a part of this specific part of His body, this specific congregation of His people. Today, if you're not a Christian, we invite you to come to Christ, to believe that He is the Son of God. He is the Lord of us all. He is, as Peter describes, the chief shepherd. He is a shepherd over shepherds. There's no earthly chief shepherd. He's the only chief shepherd. Confess that belief. Turn from your sins. And be baptized into Christ. And be a part of His family. If today you need the prayers of this body, these people pray together. And they'll pray for you. And it may be that you need to pray with an elder. When our service closes in a little while, there'll be some elders stationed around the door. They have name tags on, so if you're a guest, you'll know who they are. You may just need to pull them aside and say, listen, something's going on in my life, or I need some help right now, or I just need some encouragement. Could you pray with me? And I'll know the answer. They'll say yes. And they'll take you to a room right over here on the right, and they'll take you and them, or you and several of the elders, or you and whoever you want to go in there, and they'll pray with you. Today, if you need the prayers of these people, will you come while we stand and sing?